being challenged. Okay. A very good morning. Excuse me. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Chof Tes Amid Beis, Shabbos 29b, pagination page 58. We'll start from the second wide line at the Mishnah. Our topic over here is cases where you haven't done anything wrong at this point, but we are concerned with the setup that we're dealing with, that something will be done wrong. In particular, let's jump in straight into the Mishnah. Logik of Adam Shefaferesh Shal Beitza, a person should not pierce the shell of an egg, V'mala'eno shemen, and fill it with oil, V'yitneno al pianer, and put it above a burning light, B'shvil she'tehe min ha'tefes, in order that it should drip down and provide fuel for the light. Now, you're getting a glimpse into the way they conducted themselves. This was a way to control, perhaps, how much fuel was being allotted to the lamp, and that as it would drip, it would burn. And apparently that was the regulation that they wanted. The problem is that on Shabbos, we're worried that you're going to reach over and perhaps actually remove the eggshell in its entirety or take from the oil that's in the eggshell. There is discussion as to what the problem with removing oil in such a case would be. Some Rishonim learn that you are taking away fuel that's been designated for the lamp, and others learn that it has to actually be that you diminish the light of the lamp in a more immediate fashion. So depending on which approach and logic you're using, you'll have to decide how you're going to learn the fear of the Mishnah. Are we worried that you're simply going to syringe out, so to speak, from the eggshell? Or are we worried you're going to take away the eggshell? What exactly is our concern? But in any case, you're not allowed to set it up like this. Va'afilu hishal cheres, even if it's made of earthenware, which the theory was that you wouldn't touch it because it's a little bit more messy. Rabbi Yehuda mate, Rabbi Yehuda allows it. But this is the concern which we're focusing on, that even though you're not doing anything wrong now because it's been set up and it's dripping and there's nothing wrong, but we're worried that you will act upon the light and cause a problem. Avlim chibra hayotzer mitchila mutter, but if this drip method of oil is attached to the lamp itself, such that you can't remove one from the other and it's clearly connected to each other, it would be permitted, because then it becomes one utensil. And if it's one utensil, then it's very clear to you not to take, and you won't be able to take from it. Lo yimale adam ka'ara shel shemen. Likewise, a person should not fill a plate, like a bowl, of oil, v'yitnena b'tzad haner, and put it next to a light, v'yitin rosh ha'psila b'socha, and put one of the sides of the wick into it, b'shvil she'tehei shoaves, so that it should, through osmosis, pull the oil from the other keli. Rabbi Yehuda mater, Rabbi Yehuda allows it. What's the concern over here that they're saying not to do it? You're not going to be able to clearly recognize, as you glance at it, that this oil is designated for this lamp. And we want everything in one unit so that you shouldn't make this mistake on Shabbos and remove oil that's connected or that's attributed, that's meant for the lamp that's burning. Let's drop down to a fascinating case. about 20 lines down in the wide, the beginning of the line is Yotzer Tanan, and then you'll see a two dots towards the middle of the line. Tanya Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Yep. Tanya, we learned Omar Rabbi Yehuda said, Pam Achas Shavtinu, fancy word, we spent Shabbos. Shavtinu, we spent Shabbos. Ba'aliyas Beis Nitzah, in the attic of Beis Nitzah, Belud, in the city of Lud. It was apparently a destination of Talmidei Chachamim. Ve'heviu lanu shefoferes shel beitzah, they brought to us the shell of an egg, the first case of the Mishnah. Umalanuha shemen, and we filled it with oil. V'nikvanuha, and we pierced it. We made a nekev in it, a hole. V'hinachuhu al pianer, and we put it above the lamp, so that it would continue fueling the lamp even beyond whatever oil might have been there. V'yosham Reb Tarfon uzakenim, Reb Tarfon and the elders were there. V'lo amru lanu davar, and they didn't say anything. Now, apparently, if you do something wrong in the presence of the elders and they don't say anything, that's the equivalent of endorsable. Amrulo, they answered him, we understand what you're quoting, and we're understanding that you're thinking that it's permissible to do what you did, because they didn't censure you. Amrulo, they told him, that Misham Raya, from there you're bringing a proof, that doesn't prove anything. Shiny Beis Nitzah Dizrizim Hei. Beis Nitzah is different. That particular attic, with all of its Talmidei Chachamim, they know how to do things. They're accurate. They're special. And therefore they weren't worried that they're going to take the oil away, because they do mitzvahs right. But for the rest of us, you can't rely on that. Now, the question, of course, is, where do you find that there could be a Mishnah, a Gezerah, that we're concerned about something, and it goes off because someone is a big Talmud Chacham? We don't find any such thing.
Well, it's not the first time. I believe the same thing similar was...
What are you thinking of?
Can't exactly... It was connected to Shabbos.
Good.
It wasn't this one.
I came up with two ideas. One is that we find that in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have to light the fire as much because of the expression, Kohanim Zerizim Heim, I believe the Lashon was, that the Kohanim knew how to do it.
Right, but the rest of us
don't. And the rest of us don't. I don't think that's such a great application to this, because over there they were lighting the fire, it's a logistical thing, and we're saying they're experts in lighting the fire, so that if they light the fire in the right way, they know their wood, they know their fire, they know their climate, they know their temperature, I don't know, whatever factors might cause a fire to go out, they know what they're doing, they know the level of combustion, and they get it going, it's going to go. Over here, there's no question of getting it going. The eggshell is here, the fire is there, it's burning. What does Zerizim Heim have to do with it? Right? The other application that we had was that the children to learn to the light of a fire were not concerned that they're going to touch it. Because Emas Rabam Aleihem, because the fear of their mentor is upon them. And maybe that's what this Gemara is referring to, Zerizim Heim in the sense of being very well versed in halacha. And if any one person would reach out to the thing, there'd be 50 people shushing him. Oh, you can't do that on Shabbos. And maybe that's what Zerizim Heim is. But the question needs to be asked, because normally gzeiros don't go off just because people are great Talmidei Chachamim and Tzaddikim, unless there's a specific reason why we're not concerned in this forum, like the Beis HaMikdash perhaps, or like when someone is watching you and making sure you don't do such a mistake. In any case, this story, which was related to our Mishnah because it had to do with the dripping oil, prompts a second story. Aben Tziporaa, Gorar Safla Ba'alisa Deshisha, he dragged a bench on a floor of marble, La'elam Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, in front of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. Now, what's the problem here? The problem is that you're not allowed, you're stumped. I don't blame you. You're not allowed to drag a bench if it was ground. Ground that would cause a furrow. Okay? So you're pulling the bench, it's causing a furrow, it's the malacha of choresh, plowing. He's on a floor of marble though. What's the problem? Amar Lei, he said to him, Ishtuke lach kedishtiku lechevraya l'Rabbi Yehuda, if I'm quiet, the way they were quiet in that other attic, the previous story, nafik minei churva, a terrible thing is going to come out of this, because you're going to start quoting me that I say that it's okay to drag benches. So he says, I don't want you quoting me that you're allowed to drag benches. Gezeira alisa de shisha ato alisa de alma, there's a legislation, if it's a marble floor, lest you do this on a dirt floor. The question is exactly what was the gzeira, what was the legislation. In halacha it is actually brought that the mechaber says that you can't sweep a floor, for example, a regular dirt, what they considered regular, a dirt floor. But had it been paved like ours, it would be fine. And the Ramah says that some say that you're not allowed to sweep a paved floor either, because it's a gzeira. Atu, you can't do a marble floor, because someone might come to sweep or drag something on a to level or dig a furrow in a dirt floor. The Bi'ur Halacha over there says, but if all the floors in town are non-dirt, like ours, they're non-dirt, so then you don't have that gzeira anymore, and that's where the concept of sweeping our floors comes from. But you see from this Gemara that there was some sort of gzeira. He was worried that if I allow you to do it on this floor, then someone's going to start saying, oh, so you're allowed to drag benches on Shabbos, and a problem can come out. So we have to be careful. Sometimes we do things and everybody extrapolates. You have to wonder what they're extrapolating. They have the cutest story about Reb Moshe Feinstein, that he was once sitting on the dais and everybody's looking at him, and he reaches out for a bottle of milk of a certain brand, and he puts it down and takes the other bottle of milk. And suddenly word got out, like there's something wrong with that first brand. And they asked him, and he said it was empty. And you're already extrapolating. But even then, have a wonderful day.